destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given rights, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. On Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
This is the People's War. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started?
Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone or human being.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so obvious. Makes you so sick at heart that you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to win the day to the people who run it, to the people who own it. That unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working at all.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported talk radio station, throwing ourselves upon the gears of the machine. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
You called down the thunder, well now you've got it.
Rick, you tell them I'm coming, and hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Revolution Radio!
Insanity runs in my family. Practically gallops.
No stems, no seeds that you don't need. Acapulco Gold is
this is James, the most acid I've ever seen anybody eat in my life. Wow, man!
Fire it up,
why don't you get a job, Spicoli?
What for?
You need money.
All I need are some tasty waves, cool buzz, and I'm fine.
Welcome and thanks for tuning in to Revolution Radio. And now it's time for that feral hippie herself, an infotartic, esoteric, eclectic mix of the adventures of that feral hippie, Miss Mona Radler.
What are you people? On dope?
That was my skull! I'm so wasted!
Make a move and the money gets
it. Dave's not here.
All right, Mona, it's all yours. Take it away.
Yeah, I'd really like to run away. I am so over dipshits, assholes, and MFers. No, they just... I am over assholes and dipshits and MFers. They are coming out of the woodwork. Everybody be aware. Because they're going to come after you too. For no good apparent reason. Except for they think their egos need fluffed. I just can't believe these people. At all. But I do believe y'all because you're here, and I really thank you for being here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio, for whatever you can find out about what's going on in the world, because we are here telling you the best that we can tell you. Yep. It's just... I am so over... people who just have no clue. They have no real clue whatsoever. And that they have to accuse others. Like I should care. Okay. Something's got to change. Something's got to go better than what it has been going. Because I've had enough of idiots who literally believe that their shit don't stink. When all they do is push shit. So yeah, their shit stinks. Maybe not quite as bad as this that I'll be sharing with you. Let's see.
Well, I am never going to be the same again after finding out what I just found out. And after watching this video, you're never going to be the same either. Sorry about that. Have you ever heard about this? The Human Meat Project? People for people? I thought this was a joke until I started digging some more and realized this is real, and it gets worse. One body can feed up to 40 people. Together, we can end world starvation, overpopulation, and climate change. Why donate? Over time, the human population has increased rapidly across the globe, leading to a higher demand for food, especially meat products. With this increasing demand, land for residential areas has become more difficult to find, and emissions from farms have risen every year, making the lives we lead less sustainable. We believe that by donating bodies and or organs, we can make a change by creating alternative meat consumption options while addressing the value of a person's body. Y'all, they have this end date where you can decide when you want to go in before you get harvested.
What?
I'm gonna pause on this. Y'all read this. And here's some meat products that you can choose from.
What?
I can't. I literally can't. This can't be real. This can't be real. This can't be real. God, I'm ready to come home. Whenever, just any day now if you want. I'm ready. These people are crazy down here. They're crazy. I can't do this. This is crazy. Is that normal? Do you guys think that's normal?
No.
Human meat.
It's crazy. No. It's so cannibalism.
Now, cannibalism is normal? What? First they changed pedophilia to be minor attracted persons, and now cannibalism? Eating human meat? Mm-mm. I can't. I'm done. That's it. Mm-mm. Can't. What are y'all's thoughts on this?
I think it's pretty ugly, actually. I mean, seriously. It's not just pretty ugly. It is ugly. Why does people think... I guess we should just get used to it, just like this one.
Yes. This. So I do edit a video the other day, OBGYN, talking about her experiences after the vaccine. And if anybody hasn't seen that video yet, go and see it. Go through the comment section. I have lost track of how many comments of people experiencing the same thing. Nurses, doctors, it's unreal. This has got to stop. This has got to stop. There's got to be a line. Something needs to happen. People need to stand up. This is something that should be being protested by nurses and doctors. They are the voice that we need behind this. 100%.
Well, it's the miscarriages and those things like that because of the things, the women being jabbed. And then the babies that are getting it. Why would you give an infant something like that? doesn't make sense to me at all. At all. Okay. That one's too long, so that's gotta go. So let's see what this one has to say. Hopefully there's no... Hopefully.
We should learn from our relatively recent history, my brother. That's where I'm coming from. I say all powerful people.
And now, the most underrated voice in all media. Oh. Chuck O'Shelley.
Second segment of the O'Shelley Effect here on a Wednesday, and it is definitely a wild card, but I'm always pleased, and we were just talking off air. It's probably been nearly a decade since I first engaged with this gentleman. I know it's been easily 8 years, but it could be more, and always been glad that he's been around. I have observed his work and appreciated it for a long time, and really happy to have Max Egan with us. So, I'm going to give you the links to the Crow House. And I know I've been on the BitChute channel recently. I noted that him and I both almost simultaneously grabbed the COVID commercial from Saturday Night Live, which I found extremely ironic and funny. I've only stuck that onto the short attention span DJ theater stuff where I play all sorts of fake commercials. And that one was perfect. Hey, you know what? You need a break from life. Why not get COVID? Yeah, why not? Oh, Max. First off, it's really glad to have you on. And you got to point out irony when they shove it in your face. Immediately when I saw that thing run and come up online, I said, I'm going to just steal their audio. Nobody's going to stop me. So I had to run it. And I noticed that something came up on your channel, too, that had a bit of it. Anyway. I'm going to get into a bunch of stuff with you. Before we get into what's going on and what we really need to focus on, I've actually got a question from a couple of listeners about something, a piece of audio that somebody lifted from one of your shows that I've also used again on my DJ shows, where honestly, if the world wasn't in such bad shape, I'd probably be trying to just get a job playing music and being a DJ somewhere. With the voice I have, I'd probably just be a hard rock DJ and enjoy playing AC/DC for the 5,000th time on some radio station. You know what I mean? This is the kind I'd be doing the 10th caller. I'll give you tickets. You know, I'd probably be doing that somewhere if I didn't see the world in such sad shape. We are in trouble here, Max, but there is no reason for despair. First off, I want to ask you that question, but before we get there, how you doing tonight, sir?
I'm good. It's nice to be here in Mexico. It's certainly better than being in Australia. The weather's fine. The people are wonderful, and I'm all good.
That's good to hear. Yeah, I never know if we should talk about the location you're in and whatnot, because I don't know, man. Australia's a strange place. I've got a couple of listeners over there. There's a media outlet over there that has now blacklisted me. Thank you. So I don't know. There are odd goings on that continent. It is a continent, right? Australia. Yeah, it's a continent. There's some odd goings on there. But I'll hear out whatever it is you think. Whatever it is you think other people should know that are not familiar with what's happening in Australia. But at some point, somebody did a cover of the song Creep, which was played on your show, and then somebody lifted the audio, gave it to me, and said I should play it during my weird little DJ sets, and I have, and it's really, really funny. They changed the lyrics and stuff. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I'm not sure. Maybe I had it on – might have been one of those. I have a lot of clips on my show sometimes. I think I kind of remember it, but I've had so many on that you'd probably have to play it to me to remember it.
You know what I'll do is I'll see if I can pick it up. I will. You know what? I have the power to do that. So I'm gonna grab that clip, okay, for everybody. And we're going to, because I know I have it here. It should be at my fingertips, live radio, so it'll take me a minute. But, I'll get it and see if you can tell me what's going on there, because it's pretty funny. It's like there's some parts of it where there's – oh my, like sheep are making noise and all kinds of stuff. I'll get to it. Anyways.
But things are pretty crazy in Australia. I mean, they're not as bad in some places as what people think. I mean, people are still pretty free. If you talk to people on the ground there, they say, oh, well, there's nothing really going on. But in the background, they're putting up all this surveillance stuff. They're bringing in the digital currency. They're bringing in QR codes. They want to bring in vaccine passports pretty well all around the world. That was announced at the G20 summit a couple of weeks ago or a week ago. So, you know, it's all happening below the surface, which is what I've been saying through the whole scamdemic. I mean, half of it was locking people down to force them into compliance, kind of test the waters to see how compliant they would be. And while that was happening, while they're all in lockdown and made to wear masks and they're worried about this and worried about that and they're, you know, worried about losing their rights and they're worried about what's going on in Ukraine, they're worried about COVID, they're worried about all sorts of different things they gave you, worried about their children having to wear masks and having to homeschool, businesses closing, all sorts of crap. While this is going on, they're rolling out all these 5G towers, they're rolling out all these cameras, they're rolling out the whole surveillance system. And then as soon as we get into a bit of a lull after the storm in Australia there, and they start to open things up a bit, they hit it with massive weather wars, flooding all over the place, which is all completely controlled and contrived. And then there's hackers. Oh, the terrible hackers have just hacked Optus, and they've hacked Telstra, and they've hacked Toyota, and then they've hacked the police database. So we need to bring everything into a centralized digital ID. So, if you need a digital ID to go online, of course you'd want a digital ID. Why wouldn't you? What are you, one of the hackers? You know, so yeah, all really predictable. But this is what's going on beneath the surface while the people are kind of walking around saying, oh, it's not too bad. Everything seems to be kind of back to normal. They're not noticing all of the surveillance cameras everywhere and all of the surveillance everywhere, like absolutely everywhere, scanning QR codes, all this sort of stuff. And now, once they get it all in place, all they have to do is say, oh, there's a new wave, lock you all down again. And it's going to be an absolute nightmare if they get away with it.
Well, and meanwhile, according to the very few contacts that are friendly to me still in Australia, you guys are also suffering the same kind of thing that, well, it's tough all over, right? The economic war on the planet is definitely affecting Australia and the people there. You're certainly seeing the pain of inflation coming through and sweeping through at the same time, which limits people's options and is another control mechanism. I mean, look, if you can choke off people's ability to move around and to make choices, you can certainly limit their options. And therefore, well, if you've already selected, you know, it's much like I tell people about these things where, you know, oh, I know what I'm ordering off the menu. Yes, but you're not taking into account that somebody arranged that menu ahead of time. And they limit your menu options and they limit your ability to make decisions and choices and vote with your, well, in America, we'd say vote with your dollars. But to vote with, the alleged energy earned from the system that you're supposed to be storing through your monetary device one way or another. Right. You begin there, but you also put in the surveillance. You also put in the limited options, of other types of things. Okay, now you can't. This almost sounds biblical. You can't make purchases unless you have the proper markings. Okay, so it all comes together and makes sense. And meanwhile, do you have time to pay attention to it because you're trying to survive?
Exactly. That's what they're doing with the digital ID and all that. That's what they want. You're going to have a digital ID in order to get online pretty soon. I mean, in order to do anything, in order to cross a border, in order to even get online, you'll need a digital ID. And, of course, in order to get your digital ID, you're going to need to be fully vaccinated. This is the way they'll play it. And if you don't do that, well, there's a limited amount of options you can do. You certainly can't spend any money anywhere or use their system in any way, shape, or form. You're not even going to be able to go to a supermarket or be free to travel because, of course, you're just a diseased bag of germs if you haven't taken the substances that the government wants to inject into you. It's crazy what they're doing, and it's a bit of a role model for the rest of the world the way they're doing it. I mean, different strokes for different folks. They're trying out different things in different countries, but it's certainly going ahead in leaps and bounds in Australia. And unfortunately, a lot of the people aren't noticing it because, they don't really realize what tyranny looks like. And this is very unconventional warfare that we're facing, but it's warfare nonetheless. That's what's happening.
Right. And look, it's not to say, I mean, I know you mentioned things like the war in Ukraine and so on and so forth. And it's not as though you shouldn't be concerned about what's happening on the rest of the planet. But, you know, what is the old phrase? If you don't have your own house in order, then how are you going to concern yourself about the rest of the neighborhood? You know, it's pretty simple. And in America, it fascinates me because I thought we would have been, and this is one of those predictions that has not gone well so far, but I'm told, don't worry, stay tuned. I thought we would have been in the same circumstance that you are there. And yet Australia is much further ahead in this totalitarian approach and still using the COVID-1984 kind of control mechanism. They're still sticking to that. The vaccines have been pulled back on here, even by the greater corporate entities that were starting to restrict people from being able to enter places and everything else. A lot of that stuff seems to have been relaxed here in the United States, and I didn't expect that. I figured they had full compliance, it seemed like, or for the most part. I mean, nothing is ever total, but for the most part, in most places, we had an excellent rate of compliance here. I thought they were winning, and they seem to have pulled back and relaxed, and yet Australia is still going strong in that very same direction. The stuff that I covered that got me kicked off of YouTube permanently again. But, why is Australia well ahead of us in the United States regarding this? Do you know?
Well, I think because the population's so isolated. I mean, it's a big island. There's nowhere to go. There's nowhere to run. People can leave Mexico. I mean, America, they can come to Mexico. They can go to Canada. You can still kind of leave the shores. Different strokes for different folks. Australia is a very contained, low population zone. Australia is twice the size of Europe, and it's got a population of 26 million people. So they're pretty spread out. They're easy to control. It's easy to contain these people. They've been had most of their automatic weapons have been taken from them. The police have been completely militarized. Like, the police are next level brutal in Australia. You think police brutality is bad in the United States, you ought to see the cops in Australia. These guys are absolute thugs, and they don't care, and they will hurt you, and they enjoy it. So, you know, the Australian population have been very, very cowed, and they're hitting them with everything. Like, they're hitting them with floods. They're hitting them with fires, just everything they can think of to get these people to comply. So it's a lot of them are just scared, I think, as well. I mean, they're genuinely scared of the police because the police are so brutal, and you can't ever talk back to an Australian police officer. They will hurt you, and they enjoy it. So, I mean, not all of them, but most of the good ones have left in the last 3 years. A lot of the good cops who actually called this out, there was a group in Australia called Cops for COVID Truth who started standing up and speaking out. But, of course, their best form of protest was to all quit the force in protest. And, of course, as soon as they quit the force and all these new psychopaths joined, you look at cops in Australia now, they look like they're ex-bikers. They got tats all over them and really mean-looking people. So, they've managed to get away with it. I mean, you don't get a lot of news. There's only a limited amount of television stations. There's not a lot of underground resistance. There is some, but not enough. So, and not enough politicians, not enough diversity in Australia, really. And so they've seemed to have, and it's the same in New Zealand. I mean, if you really look at Australia, New Zealand, and Canada, they're facing it worse than anybody else. And these are all part of the Crown Corporation, of course, so a lot of it comes out of England.
Well, right. I mean, after all, you are talking about the all of the colonies, right? And I mean, people talk to me about, well, Australia was a prison colony and so on and so forth. And I'm like, yeah, so you don't quite understand the dynamic there. Again, if you're talking about 26 million people, I mean, we've got cities with that many people in them here, right? Mm-hmm. And you're the majority of your population is all around the edges of the continent, again, spread out, though. And for a little while there was even the device being used of, well, the indigenous people. And let's see if we can get everybody afraid of them for a bit. Do you have any thoughts about that? Because there was, even news stories that, I'm sorry, looked extremely planted in mainstream Australian news about, you know, the biker gangs and this and that. And
well, they were the last people who were left armed, the biker gangs. So they've got to vilify them and outlaw them. I mean, they were kind of our last line of defense, the bikers. Because all of these guys are just anarchists. They just don't want to be involved in society. I mean, sure, there's a bad element in there. There's a bad element in all, you know, fringe groups, you know, drug dealing and prostitution or whatever. But a lot of them were just decent guys who didn't want to be part of the system, who were quite happy to be violent about it if they had to be. I mean, you come at me, I'm going to come back at you. That was their attitude, which is kind of a good thing. You know, alpha males. There's been a lot of that squashed. I mean, fluoridated as well. The whole population is heavily fluoridated. So, you know, I mean, I've been trying to wake them up for years. I started calling the place Apathralia. And I waited until, like, I had two weeks left before they were going to close the borders, and I wouldn't have been able to leave without a vaccine, you know. So I left. And I had to get a business invitation even to leave. Mm. But I left with kind of 2 weeks to spare. As soon as I left, they shut down my bank accounts and did all sorts of stuff. And, you know, they actually came looking for me after I left, which was kind of intuitive. I left at the right time.
Right.
But, you know, it's been sad to see. There is a lot of pushback. There's a lot of good stuff happening there now, though, which I think is good and may even lead to something positive. And we're seeing it right around the world. I mean, a lot of people are getting it. A lot of Americans have woken up. I mean, there's still a lot of sleeping masses out there. But there's been a lot of pushback in the United States as well. The vaccine uptake hasn't been anywhere near as high as what they tell you it has. And so I think they're realizing, hang on, we've got a heavily armed population here, so we better not push things too hard. So what they're doing in the United States is breaking down a supply chain, breaking down a food chain. That's why they were destroying all those farms last year, killing all the poultry, while they put all the levies on diesel fuel and stuff so the trucks can't transport the food. Well, they've had Black Lives Matter and Antifa going around and burning down supermarkets and stuff like that. It's always the food stores, you know, they burn down. There's been so many food processing plants that have gone down, like 75 food processing plants, or even more than that, I think, maybe over 100 in the United States in the last 18 months. So you're going to start feeling all this next year. Next year.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Who owns you? If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine.
There is blood on the wire.
Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays for Voices on the Wind with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people under fire.
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the Internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is Advanced Ancient Global Civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Thank Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of whose program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Who's death? Got to make the best out of the day that you got, that you're witnessing now. I don't want to think about all this, but hey, it's here, it's coming. I don't know what else to do but trust the universe and my higher soul to put me where I'm supposed to be, because that's what is what I guess I asked for. It's a good thing I have somebody on my side in this house, and it is the landlord. Because these women are just... I'm a peaceful individual. I'm a hippie. I'm not one to go and create trouble for others and to accuse others of doing things that they aren't doing. I mean, people's minds are going crazy. Alcohol doesn't have anything to do with it. Oh, yeah, about 90%. Jeez. Now, I did have my beer yesterday. A beer. So, but I'm not doing tequila and vodka and all these other heavy laden beverages. Oh, my gosh. Sometimes I literally have to calm myself down, because it's just like they're saying, belligerents. Nobody's witnessing to see the truth of the facts behind this reality of what's being shoved down our throats.
I think things are going to really begin in earnest pretty well everywhere if we don't manage to rein this in and get some control back in the hands of the people soon.
See, that's the thing, is I do feel as though, Max, we are faced with 2023 being a pivotal year where we're going to see all this stuff amped up again. And again, I did tell you that in the U.S., it seems like, look, our politicians, the politicians in Australia for a good solid couple of years seem to be taking to the air constantly to push the vaccine, to push, you know, a compliance one way or another. They were cutting down your abilities to move from one part of Australia to another, even not just leaving the country, but you couldn't cross borders within the country even without, these QR codes and all this other stuff.
You couldn't cross them at all for a while. They just blocked them off. You needed permits. For a while, they just blocked them off altogether, and then you needed permits to cross the border for months.
Yeah, and that's just going from, you know, what we would see like as one state to another here, which when they tried to do that in the U.S., look, one thing that's a problem is that even if you cowed the United States population, at a certain point, they become disinterested in even compliance, okay? Which it's just like, look, I'm just going to do what I'm going to do. And there's usually like this pushback that's not even like a conscious pushback. It's just a matter of, I'm not going to comply because this is annoying. It's not a matter of principle even. It's weird. And it seems like they had no choice but to abandon doing stuff like that here for the moment. But I think next year it might be amped up again. And do you think this is going to... Oh, I hate to even say this, because every time I say something like this, when it happens, people go, oh, you predicted it. It's like, I'm not happy about this. But I mean, are we going to see a new dangerous wave, another variant that they're going to claim is sweeping through? So therefore, we must return to something that is akin to what China was doing. And of course, that's interesting, too. And the fact that Australia's supply chain, which has also been challenged, is completely different from ours. It's much more, you know, look, it's much more dependent directly on what goes on in Asia. So are we going to see something like that where there's going to be the new excuse, which will be, you know, some as yet unnamed, you know, COVID this or that or the third thing variant? Or is it going to be something else entirely where they say, remember COVID? Well, this is going to be a lot worse. And, you know, again, monkeypox, I don't think they could sell it because it sounds goofy, but they tried.
It could be any of the above. They could call a new wave, but like I said, different strokes for different folks. They might be able to get away with calling a new wave in Australia because they seem to be not letting that narrative die. And they're creating all sorts of excuses for it. I have floods and everything, all these viruses that are coming out of the woodwork everywhere, you know. So, but different strokes for different folks. They might do it just through the food chain. They might do it through civil unrest in the United States. Just break down to the food chain. You're seeing so much animosity, like with all this Black Lives Matter stuff. You're seeing so many, you know, like the fentanyl in the United States and stuff like this. I mean, there's various ways to take out populations, depending on the culture you're dealing with. They might be able to get away with new variants in some European countries and possibly in Australia and New Zealand. They might be able to get away with it in Canada. I don't know whether it'll cut it in the United States. Maybe in some states, maybe in California. You can do just about anything in California.
In California, you can do it, yeah. That's true.
Yeah, they'll probably go for it. Now, I'm sorry for any Californians out there, but hey, it's just an observation from visiting the place. So... but, you know, different strokes for different folks, but there'll definitely be something. And whatever it is, like I did a show a few shows ago that I called Undifferentiated Warfare. In other words, whatever situation they come up with, whatever situation is happening, they can find a way of weaponizing that situation against the populace in order to get more of their agenda through. And they're willing to grasp at any straws they see, depending on what public reaction is to things, then they'll play things different ways. And any thing that we try to create to get ourselves out of this, they try to co-opt it and weaponize it against us as well. So this is the way they're working. This is completely unconventional, undifferentiated warfare, whereby they're weaponizing any opportunity they have to be able to limit your capacity to respond and limit your freedom in the process and give more power to themselves. You know, when you can see the end goal of what they want, which is complete control of everything, massive depopulation and complete control of everything that's left, not just human beings, all life, all minerals, all resources, every drop of water, every blade of grass, everything. They want to control it all. When you can see that's what the end goal is, then you begin to see the stepping stones they're using and how they're turning any situation through the media, being able to spin it into what they want. They're able to turn it into something that they can weaponize against yourself by simply changing people's perception of what's just happened. You know, you see an event happen and they think it's this, then the media will say, well, hang on, no, it's this. And then they'll convince them that that's what it was, and then things just keep going their natural course. So this is the way they're working. And once you can see that, once you can see, like I said, you see what the end goal is, and you see how they do this, how they tune, fine-tune, and retune every single situation that happens and make it work to their advantage. Once you begin to see it, it becomes self-evident. And you begin to see it, like I've been saying to people, forget thinking United States and Canada and China and Russia. It's all one big thing. It's one big holding company. The entire earth is one big holding company. It's a multi-generational, multinational criminal cabal masquerading as a system of international governments and nations that are playing all the people off against each other. to this whole concept of fear and the fact that we need governments to protect us from all these terrible things that the governments are creating, you know. And then people think, oh, Russia's going to come along and save us. So this particular government is going to save us from all the other governments. And people can't see it's theatre. You know, if Russia could have gone in and saved the situation in Donbass 8 years ago, why did he do it right now when they need him? And all the people worried about Ukraine's just a big money laundering operation that they can funnel all this money to the Democrats, all the shit they just did with FTX and all that. And it's got people worried about there's going to be a war. No, it's the war's already started. The war is this holding company. It's the governments of the world who are complete usurpers, and they're carrying out a war of depopulation and control against the people of the world. And the way they've done it is by constructing this huge holding company with all these different department stores that all think they're a threat to each other, that all believe they need government. Oh, the Americans, we need government. Who? What for? Well, to protect us from the outsiders. Well, what outsiders? Well, you know, the Chinese. Well, hang on, the Chinese are just people. They don't want to attack you. It's the Chinese government. So you need the United States government to protect you from the Chinese government. The Chinese people need their government to protect them from all the other governments. It's all the governments facing off against each other, convincing us that we need governments to protect us from all the other governments. I think I see the answer here. You know what I mean? It's pretty obvious when you can see it. And when you can step back and really look at the world through those type of eyes, you go, holy shit. And it all just falls into place and you can see exactly how they're playing their game.
Right. And it's a global agenda which is played out on a local level because not everything works the same in every region. That's why you have to adjust this. Like, honestly, I think you've already.
It's even more local than a lot of people think, because it isn't even down to local national government or local state government. It's down to your local council. That's where it's all coming in place in your countries. And you find that all of these local councils, like in Australia, there's a municipality association which controls all local councils, and that municipality association gets its orders directly from the United Nations. And you're going to find this in all countries. And then they have all the theater above it. So we place our attention on the state government and on the federal level. The federal government is simply the liaison between the other department stores. The state government is what controls that particular franchise. But ultimately, it all comes down to your local councils. That's how local it actually is.
Well, right. And here's what's going to get weaponized, I figure, in the United States, by the way. You know, you brought up the fentanyl, and I marveled at how easily people were placed in a state of fear around Halloween time, because it was like, oh, they're going to put fentanyl in the candy. I marveled at how stupid people are, because it was like, look, if you're in the drug business, okay, on any level of significance, does it make sense to create 10-year-old customers? No, it doesn't, because they don't have money, okay? It doesn't make any sense. The fentanyl is going to play a role, yes. But it's not what you think. It's not the way that they're presenting it. I believe that by denial through the supply chain, all those, you know, SSRIs that people have become dependent upon in the U.S. and all those other sorts of drugs in the psychotropic category, I think that that is an excellent control mechanism, whether you increase levels or deny them to people who have now become completely dependent upon them. Okay. And the opioids, let's not leave them out, are an excellent way to control. If you don't know that, I mean, come on, just enter into a search engine, opium wars, and take a look at the history and understand how entire populations can get decimated, controlled, steered by this. Okay. And it doesn't mean everybody's an addict. It just means there's enough addicts to wreak havoc. You get it? So you can either increase or decrease or make dope more powerful or less powerful, and you can control the majority of the society by leveraging it through the vulnerable group. It's not that hard to figure out, okay? It's just not that hard to figure out. I think the U.S. is going to get leveraged by the drug situation here. And some
could
of it's
well be
supply chain. And again, it's multi-pronged, because think about that. Do you know how many people in the U.S. that if you encounter them, okay? And I know you encounter people from all over the world, Max, but honestly, if you put any 10 people from the United States together in a room, okay, as long as they're not getting together as listeners of my show or something like that, okay, like just random people, you're going to find that more than half of them are dependent on some sort of drug. You understand? There is a drug addict society here that in some cases is reliant because of, you know, certain medical conditions, whatever, psychiatric conditions, alleged, you know, the mental health issue. There's a reason why they keep shoving that in your face. You know, whatever.
That's always been one of the biggest hypocrisies of the United States and of the entire society, is that they're against drugs, they say, you know, the war on drugs. And yet it's a government that supports the wholesale addiction of its population through pharmaceuticals. It's incredible. The incredible hypocrisy.
And again, it's something that even people that are suspicious of the system itself and might even see that you're right about the fact that, look, you're looking at the liaison. You're not looking at the controller. You're looking at, there are franchises out there. Yes, you, the people, are actually the product, but you're also meant to be controlled and reduced or increased at will so that you can be weaponized as well. The weapons against you and the fact that you are being weaponized and all of this stuff is being, you know, all this theater is being conducted so that, again, we continue to turn our attentions on each other, turn against each other, as opposed to looking at the people that are actually manipulating the population in the first place. Yeah, that's the way this works. Okay. It's perfect when you take a look at the fact that, yeah, you have the hypocrisy of the addicted society, which then in turn makes all sorts of moral judgments about, you know, I don't want to be like the, they've stopped picking on people for cannabis so much in most places now, right? But all these other drugs, you know, like we can make all sorts of moral judgments.
Even with the cannabis, though, you know, I think, like, they've done it all at that time for a particular reason. I think, get people stoned so they're not going to fight back too much. I mean, cannabis makes you pretty laid back. And also, I think with all of the hybridization of cannabis in the United States, they've kind of, they're working to destroy the spirit of the plant, destroy the soul of the plant. I think a lot of that hybridized weed that people are smoking, it's not good for you. And because it doesn't have any real soul to the plant. And like I said, I think they've done it at this particular time because, it'll all go away. We'll get stoned and forget about it, you know. Mm-hmm. And as much as, I smoked weed for a long time. I actually smoke hardly any weed at all anymore. I used to smoke 4 or 5 joints a day, a couple of months ago. And now I can roll a joint and it'll last me a week. So,
I've graduated to that point, too, where at a certain time, the cannabis was a righteous medicine for me to use. And nowadays, a joint might last me a month.
Yeah, that's what I'm finding. It's nice to have there if I ever want it. But, yeah, I hardly smoke at all anymore. So and I didn't think, I've got to give up or anything. I just sort of stopped one day.
Yeah, it just sort of, it drifts away. And here's the thing is if you begin to evolve a little bit and you get, see, they give you this idea about medicine is like a permanent condition. Not necessarily. Okay. I know that, big pharmaceutical companies love to create repeat customers and all that good stuff. But that's the interesting part about real medicine and honest medicine that comes from the earth is that, yes, it can probably cure anything you have. But it's not there for you to be a repeat customer. The earth is not dependent upon always increasing its customer base, okay? the pharmaceutical
funny
company.
Funny how that works, huh?
Funny how that works, Max. You know, and even with the use of the psychedelics, which, by the way, saved my life, the use of psilocybin, because, frankly, I was suffering from severe PTSD a couple of years ago. It had been collectively crushing me. The use of psilocybin absolutely gave me back control of my life. Okay. But I don't need psilocybin constantly. Okay. I know some people have gotten into this, a microdosing about a few times and I am in so much better shape. Again, the earth doesn't need a repeat customer. It just doesn't need a customer base. Okay. You know what? The earth does not require you. it's just you're not part of its business model. Anyway, I have that song queued up, Max, so I'm going to play a piece of it for you and see if you can remember where it came from, because I want to give proper credit to the artist that decided to create a parody out of Creep. And then we have a few more minutes to talk, because I've only got you for this hour, and I'm so glad to be talking to somebody who's rational and actually sees the world as it is, Max Egan. But this cover, I've been playing it off and on the DJ sets, which I can only post on Mixcloud right now. But don't worry, all these platforms are going to turn around and do all kinds of weird things to all of us again this year. Promise you that, too. So who knows if it'll continue to exist that way. But let me just play a little bit of this for you. And for the listeners, we'll all listen to it together for a minute or two. And then you can tell me where it came from if I can jog your memory.
What do you want? Hey, you want it?
Lose your hand no more. It can make you set a fire. Look for contagion within the big light. You ponder together. Criminal world is so superficial. How things are suspicious. You're a
anyway, it goes on. It's a whole version of that Radiohead song. But
yeah, I remember having it on the show. There was a video clip that went with it. You'll find it if I had it on. Like sometimes I have these on at the end of my show. I put a track on. If you can find the show that it was on, then you'll find the link in the show notes of that show on BitChute. That's all I can say. And I remember having that on probably. I think before I left Australia, so halfway through 2021, I think I had that on.
Right.
So that's the best I can do, brother. So much stuff sent to me, so many songs sent to me, and I tend to have one on at the end of every show if I can find something to put on the end. I like to put a tag on the end. So, and I always put the links below in the show notes. So that's the best I can do. But I remember having that on now.
Yeah. Right. And most things you can easily find by searching the Crow House. I'm pretty sure that's what your BitChute channel is called as well. I mean, I know I got it bookmarked, but isn't that what your BitChute channel is called?
Yeah, yeah, the Crow House.
Okay.
Everything you'll find me is generally the Crow House.
The Crow House, exactly. I think even the .com is still the Crow House. That's been around.
Yeah, the crowhouse.com. You'll find the Crow House on Odyssey. You'll find the Crow House on, I'll tell you the Max Egan or the Crow House on Gab. I think it's Max Egan on Twitter. They still let me on Twitter, which is amazing. They banned me for about a year, then opened my account again. So strange, but it's either Max Egan or the Crow House. Mainly it's the Crow House, generally me.
Right. Max Egan's
Crow House on Telegram as well, at Crow House Official.
Ah, okay. Crow House Official on Telegram. Like I say, I'll put this in the show notes and all that. I mean, you don't even really need me to promote you, but the thing is, I will. Maybe you guys can search through the channel. I got this sent to me by a listener who was like, oh, I got this off of one of Max's videos. And so I have it identified as you. And, you know, that's the way I have it identified. And I'm like, I don't know who did this, but whoever it was brilliant because, you know, you're a sheep instead of I'm a creep. Right.
Yeah, and it had a good film clip to go with it as well. Like it had people wearing masks and blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So it was good.
Excellent. So anyway, we'll figure that one out. And maybe the guy who originally clipped it will contact me now because I can't even remember who sent it to me. But as with you, I mean, look, people send me stuff all the time and I don't know sometimes from where it comes from. And some of it's great. And some of it's like, you know, OK, I already saw this or heard this. Anyway, I love that you and I both simultaneously picked up that COVID commercial because I found that to be ironic. And
it was great.
You know, because yeah, it was it, like,
It was great. It just completely nailed it. I mean, this is all it was. And the way she went in there and said, oh, it was just like having a bad flu for a couple of days. Of course it was, because that's all it is. It's just your body having a detox, you know. It's one of the cruelest things they ever did to mankind, was to teach you that your body having a detox is actually a disease that they need to give you medicine for, when all this medicine does is poison you. And that's all they've done now, is that they've weaponized the common flu, like I said, undifferentiated warfare. Get anything they want, turn it into a weapon against you. Your body's having a detox, so they're going to call it a massive viral outbreak and a pandemic, you know, and half of that is what makes people sick, just the stress of all that. It's crazy, you know, absolutely crazy. But it's been an interesting run for them, and they've done they've tested the water, they've tested everybody for compliance, and we're pretty successful with this whole scam so far. And so now they're going to take it to the next level with this whole surveillance grid. See, that's what it's been all about. This whole pandemic has been about rolling out this surveillance grid, testing the waters while they can do it. Also, a lot of ritual in there, you know, getting you to wear the masks and all this sort of crap. The masks are also to perfect the facial recognition software, because they need to be able to read a partial face. So they can still, even if you're wearing glasses and a beard or whatever, they can still pick it out. They still know it's you. So yeah, that's what a lot of this has been about as well. So the AI gets really good tabs on everybody. And it's insidious, but they're definitely going to ramp it up next year if we don't, you know, call this out and continue to call it out, and hopefully awaken a lot of people to stand up and reclaim their freedom.
Well, see, that's the thing, is how do they do that from the position they're in? How do we assert, you know, I have resisted so far.
A lot of us are resisting. The banks just shut down TrueStream videos. We're in deep censorship of there's not allowed to be any truth out there at all. Be prepared, people. Be very, very prepared.
Find some comfort at Willow's World. A variety of news, commentary and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist, featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is advanced ancient global civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery? Real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crypt Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crypt Rick's IP, thank you. Welcome to the Crypt.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for free association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Hey everyone, it's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got now.
We now return to Revolution Radio's very own feral hippie, Mona Radler.
Welcome back. We're here at freedomslips.com, revolution.radio. I didn't even tell anybody today's date. And it's a very auspicious date because 44 years ago, my first child was born. So, 12-12-22. Ugh. We are listener supported and our funds are semi-low, so please help us out and hook us up with a donate click from the homepage. That's right, freedomslips.com, revolution.radio. I really appreciate that everybody is donating as they can. We're all in the same conditions. I just wish more hosts would actually put in $5, $10, however. I mean, because that's really all the little stuff counts, too. It counts. So please help us stay on air for as long as we can. Just sad about True Stream videos. Very sad.
Taking any vaccination. I live in the state of Georgia, which is a little more lax when it comes to this kind of stuff. So it wasn't really forced upon me like it was in some other parts of the country. You know, when I wanted to return to the place where I was born, New Jersey, they had instituted a travel restriction, which, again, they couldn't do it on a national level, but regionally, state by state, they were able to do stuff like that. And New Jersey had a thing where it was like, you know, you're going to have to isolate for 4 days or a week or something if you come into this state. And, you know, for those of us traveling on a shoestring who don't have extra money to go rent a hotel room to sit and do nothing for a week,
right?
You know, it was like, yeah. Well, that's undoable. So I wasn't going to go up to New Jersey at all during any of this time. I find it interesting, though, that you bring up the mental stress, because I think this is another key element that is ignored. You know, in a way,
well, it's a huge part of it. It's the main part of it, the mental stress. And look what it's done to the children. And that's the important part about this as well. If they get this through, like I keep saying, I've been saying for years, the kids who grow up into this are going to have no reference point for what freedom looks like.
That's right.
And the kids that have gone through this, the kids that have gone through the last 3 years, children that have been like 2 to 5 years old, or even 5 to 8 years old, that have gone through this, these kids are permanently damaged. You know, and it's crazy with what they're doing with all this transgenderism and all this shit now, getting kids to even question what gender they are after putting them through all this stuff. This is incredibly cruel. But perhaps it's going to take a little bit more yet. Perhaps people are going to have to get into another lockdown or something before they're actually going to stand up. But we all need to unite and express a loss of confidence in our government's ability to govern. This is a criminal act. Everything that they've done is a criminal act, and these people have got to be removed from power, and we need to reclaim this world for humanity and for the children. Otherwise, we're going to be lost.
Right. And I just got a note from, but believe it or not, one of my few listeners that still exists in Australia, Ray from Australia, actually sent it to me, that creep cover. He's going to go look. So, anyway, back to the very serious point. You know how we know that this is true, though, is because I have children, all right? I have three, Max, and you know, my youngest is 8 years old. I have watched the warping of his socialization. Okay. And I know that that's true, but let's just say Chuck's wrong about that. And you don't know how your 8 year old's going to turn out. Okay, fine. Let me tell you about my 20 something year old children. Okay. They are completely normalized into the idea of surveillance. And you know why? Because they don't know anything about the pre-9/11 reality. They don't know of a time when you could walk out. And yeah, this existed, by the way. A time when you could walk out in the street and not expect to be filmed. Not only by, you know, if you went to any sort of business or whatever, they have surveillance cameras, you know, for their safety, to protect their products, whatever. On the streets in general, because of law enforcement. But also the fact that they've turned, you know, people into little brothers of sorts, where everybody pulls out their phones. You're being recorded, traced, tracked at all times. And you know what? They've also normalized carrying the phone, which obviously is a tracking device. So, you know, tell me how you escape this grid if you're anywhere near civilization. You don't. And my kids were in that age group. Don't even consider that there was a point at which that didn't exist.
I know. It's freaky, isn't it? It's freaky. I still don't use a smartphone anywhere. I don't take them anywhere with me. I just don't won't use these things.
Right.
I've had below my videos for the last 15 years, I've had throw away your smartphone. The smartphone is the new world order, and people just can't see it. They can't see the forest for the trees. It's your slave collar.
Yeah. No, and people are mad at me all the time. You don't have a cell phone? No, I don't. I don't. I will not carry one of those devices. I refuse. I mean, I've gotten one temporarily when I've been traveling, just so I have a device that is independent as I travel. But as soon as I get done traveling, that thing's gone. I don't carry these. This is not a habit of mine. Again, you know, I probably shouldn't even use it for convenience if I travel, which is rare anyway, but that's the only purpose for it in my mind. Otherwise, you know, the people that carry it constantly are slavishly devoted to their updates and, oh, I get my news this way. No, you get what they're feeding you. Okay. And whether it's a Candy Crush or an alleged news feed or whatever, you know, your discounts on your McDonald's, whatever it is, all of this stuff is about collecting data and tracking you. That's it.
That's what the whole thing's always been about. And it's insidious. So yeah, we got a big battle ahead of us, brother. But you know, I have faith in this species to be able to come through. I think things are going to get so dystopian. I mean, the transhumanist reality that they want to bring online is going to be so alien to human life, that real humanity won't even survive within its parameters, and yet it needs humanity as food. So ultimately, it's going to kill its own food source. So we just have to make sure that a certain amount of real consciousness makes it through to the other side of this whole debacle, because we ain't seen nothing yet. Everything that's happened in the last 3 years has just been in preparation for what they actually want to do. So things are going to get pretty ugly. And I've been saying to people, if we don't rise up within, very soon and pull all this down and create the world we want, then you need to find a way of simply going grey and becoming unnoticeable, and just make sure that some element of human purity and human consciousness and real knowledge makes it through to the other side, so we can bring the correct history to those who follow, so people will actually know what happened at this time of our history.
Seriously.
Well, and also I think we need to simultaneously encourage that you actually have interactions with people.
Oh, yeah.
I know that can be troublesome, and sometimes, it is difficult to work with somebody who is fully swallowed into the matrix or whatever it is you want to call it. But still, I think it is worthy of our efforts to continuously have actual interactions. You know, watching this younger generation, and like I said, I got, kids in their early 20s, watching them interact, they're dating through apps. They're getting together like almost as you and I would, because we're in different locations. Yeah, we get together for a radio show. We have a discussion, and we're using these devices to some degree, the computers or whatever. But we're not going to conduct our whole lives through it, okay? There are people out there that do that, and I know that you go out there and you try and disturb somebody who is in that world. It's not the easiest thing. I know this, but I think it's necessary. I think we need to encourage also that we actually interact with other people of our species, okay, as best we can, and in the way that we're designed to do, which is, face-to-face, in proximity to one another, actually having conversations, okay? Those things need to be preserved, because otherwise there will be no oral history that remains except that which is manipulated and retained by the digital devices.
And lies.
So,
that's what history's always been, brother. History's always been written by the winners, and we've got to make sure that the real history of this time does make it through. I think it's important.
Yeah, but not that
I'm thinking that at some point, if things don't go completely completely down the tubes, okay, if they don't, I'm thinking they're going to look back at this time in history, and it'll be our great 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 grandchildren, Max, that might look back at us and go, look at what types of fools existed at this time.
I think they will anyway. Even if it does go sideways, I think it can't survive. The system they're creating can't survive. It's going to kill itself under its own weight. That's why I was saying that there may be a need for people to simply go grey and make it through that, because ultimately it's going to fail. It's whether it's going to come online first and then collapse in a pile of nothing, or whether it's going to collapse before it comes online. And they're pretty much on track with bringing it online. So unless there's a huge awakening and a huge pushback, very soon, then it is going to come online to some degree. And in that case, if that does happen, you can always just make a stand and go down in a blaze of glory, but it isn't like what happens on the TV when you're forced to do that. If you can walk the path of the warrior and simply get through to the other side, then I think it would be very beneficial for those who come after the time when this system does collapse, because even if they bring it online, it's not going to last very long, because it can't, because it's going to kill its own food source. You know what I'm saying? So it depends on how dystopian it gets and how much of a pushback there is between now and then. But if it gets to a situation where you can't function within this system without, scanning QR codes and doing all the shit they want you to do, then you're going to have to find a way, another way of getting through it. So, yeah.
Right. Well, because the bottom line is that, look, in nature, there are parasites, and they exist, and they usually are at least wise enough not to kill their hosts. And the problem is that in this case, these parasites are greedy and they're unnatural. If they were, earth-based parasites, if they were really, truly part of the natural order, they would have at least enough sense to not destroy their food source. They can, a leech does not kill you. You know what I'm saying? It'll suck blood, but it doesn't kill you. That's why it's unfair to compare these organizations, this thing, these, God, I don't even want to say people, but you know, these things in person form that are out there. These types of parasites, they're not fairly compared to leeches and parasites, because parasites and leeches at least have the sense not to destroy their host. And it doesn't appear as though they do. And I'm telling you, the going gray and trying to survive on the other side, I don't know. You and I speak a little too much. We might not be able to go gray, but...
I don't think I'll ever be able to, brother. But I'm just recommending that might be an option for people, you know. Just find a way of you know, having a plan B. You know, exactly. If it comes down to it, rather than go down in a blaze of glory, I'll tell you, it's not like on the TV. It'd be great if some people made it through to the other side and preserved a real history of what happened and some real consciousness to bring to the people that follow.
Exactly. Max Egan, everybody. And in the first hour, we had Addy Ads, but I'm going to give you all the links to go follow both of them. A unique Wednesday night, and I appreciate all you guys for tuning in, because after all, I am merely Ocelli. All of you are indeed the effect. Good night.
The U.S. Air Force is sending up canisters into the atmosphere filled with chemicals.
Another example is the array of technologies, often referred to collectively as geoengineering. One that has gained my personal attention is stratospheric aerosol injection, or SAI, a method of seeding the stratosphere with particles that a fully deployed SAI program would cost about $10 billion yearly. As promising as it may be, moving forward on SAI would also raise a number of challenges for our government and for the international community and other geoengineering initiatives.
We shall propose further cooperative effort between all the nations in weather prediction and eventually in weather control.
What we're seeing now, and I first could not believe it, and I started looking at the skies, and these are not normal. They're not natural. There's something going on. I don't know who it is or why they're doing it. All I can testify is it's not natural and it's not normal. It's got to be some outside influence doing that.
I'm here to give you testimony that chemtrails, they're not contrails, are indeed real. They're spraying almost every day. I watch the clouds and watch the spraying program going on. I want to tell you that we're in very great danger from the pollution that's coming down over us. And we've been led astray by the military-industrial complex, and they're responsible for the cloud's creation and weather manipulation programs. They're dark operations.
When you look up at the sun and you see a white haze, that is aluminum floating in the air right now, and it's coming from the aircraft.
You want some figures? Okay, latest water test, tested the rain. 13,100 micrograms per liter of aluminum in the rain in 2013. Normally, it should be zero.
If people are finding contamination, wouldn't they come here to address it?
Here, yeah.
But nothing's being done?
What?
I don't know. We're investigating this, and there's a huge concern that people are getting sick. Well, I mean, we've interviewed several people. We've been here for a week.
Yeah.
So... you're saying there is no concern? I mean,
there is a concern.
Many people in the county have told us that they've addressed specifically with you this very issue, and they're saying nothing's being done.
That barium and aluminum is being dumped out of airplanes because they can see it in the contrails going over.
Okay. Here's my question. If there's aluminum contamination, which is very toxic, is that something that you're supposed to deal with?
It's in the air.
It appears that there is contamination. Does that concern you? I mean, personally,
it doesn't appear to me that there's contamination.
Does it concern you?
I'm here with Kristen Megan, who's actually a U.S. military whistleblower. She has an amazing, fascinating story that we will share with you here today. Now, Kristen, can you tell us what branch of the military you were in and what you uncovered?
Sure. I was in the Air Force on active duty for 9 years, and I worked in bioenvironmental engineering. One part of that process was to approve chemicals, hazardous materials. You know, what are you using? Why do you need it? Where is it being used? And tracking that disposal. After it being brought to my attention about chemtrails or geoengineering, I used to think it was crazy. It actually was disrespectful to my line of work, because here we are trying to prevent environmental aspects and impacts and not have anybody get sick from our operations. But in an attempt to debunk, it changed my life. I started noticing things. I started noticing large quantities on the system where I would approve chemicals that did not have a manufacturer name, wasn't tied to a building. When I started asking questions, I slowly became demonized. A couple years passed after that when I asked again and people realized I was kind of being more vocal about it on social media. I was starting to be thrown into a mental institution and have my daughter taken away. Wow. That changed my life. I no longer view the military the same way, and I feel like after 9 years of trying to uphold an oath, I'm able to do that now. I feel they're getting ready to admit it. And they're trying to sell it to us, you know. Yeah. It's kind of like they sell back to us. They sell fluoride to us. You know, fluoride is a mining waste product. Well, how can we make that good, you know, put it in your water? So I think that they're trying to now kind of admit it and act like they're going to start doing it. I mean, they've already been doing it.
Okay, she's got the snow lit. Let's see what it does. It's not dripping at all.
Okay. I've seen these things on YouTube about the snow melting and just turning black when you put fire to it. So I'm going to go outside here, get some snow. Get some snow. Snow I just picked up outside. I'm just packing it in. Here's the snow I just picked up. You guys saw me pick it up outside off my porch. Check this out.
Porch
is
not melt.
Dude, that is weird. It doesn't melt. There's no drops of water.
Nope.
That is weird.
Well, there was one little drop.
That is weird, man.
It's not.
Look, it just like turns black.
And now it's turning black.
He hasn't seen one drip.
In the snow on Mount Shasta, pristine Mount Shasta, 61,000 micrograms per liter, four times the amount that is found in the soil up there. Where in the hell is this stuff coming from?
But NASA is a corporation. I want you to know that.
NASA has also conducted a research program in what they call metallized fuels. We're actually putting aluminum oxide right in the fuel because it has two atoms of aluminum and three atoms of oxygen. So during the combustion process, it releases all that oxygen and dramatically increases efficiency, but it leaves the aluminum in the air.
Alex Dimitrov explains what we could see.
Hi, my name is Rich Moore. I'm a scientist at NASA's Langley Research Center in Hampton, Virginia, in the United States.
What is your specific job here on this mission?
So I'm an airborne atmospheric scientist, and I'm interested in understanding how aerosols or particles that are emitted by jet engines in the atmosphere go on to evolve in the atmosphere. The people who sit here, the left seat is the mission director, okay, and the right seat is his assistant. And what they're doing is they're monitoring the power that's drawn by all of the different racks. And so they have full control over all of the different experiments, which is really important for a NASA flying laboratory. Yeah, we're trying to keep this thing as full as possible.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of trade-offs. We want a minimum. I talked about the sticky gases. We worry about particles being lost to the walls of the tube as well. We try to keep the tubing lengths as short as possible for the samples we're making. And so we have a number of different probes, each targeting a different size range. So some probes may target, say, 1 micron to 50 microns, and other ones may target larger particles. So a micron is 10 to the negative 6. So we're talking about 1,000 times bigger than those soot particles that I described. And so it's a big plane. We've got instruments mounted on the fuselage, and then we also have instruments mounted on the wingtips.
Starting in 1993, it was called in vitro toxicity of aluminum nanoparticles in rat alveolar macrophages. That's a real fancy way of saying testing the effect of aluminum nanoparticles on the white blood cells in the little air sacs in your lung, the alveoli. And what they found in this 8-year study was that these particles, when you're exposed to them long enough, it suppresses the ability of your white blood cells to defend you from airborne infections coming into your lungs. So it suppresses your immune system. But they also found that these same particles, once they get into your system, they can actually go through the barrier in each one of the cells. They get inside the cells, and these particles can actually suppress the ability of mitochondria, which are in the cells that help to gobble up toxins and things that would be harmful to the nucleus and the reproduction process of the cells in your body. These processes are suppressed, and so essentially by breathing this material in, your immune system is dramatically suppressed.
They say, we're going to control the weather by the year 2025. I asked them, what are they doing spraying these chemicals on the public? I said, there's a violation of United States Code 50 U.S.C. 1520, which prohibits the American government from experimenting on the U.S. citizens with chemical agents. I said that law also requires the who's ever experimenting when the federal government does it that they have to report to Congress within 30 days. They wrote back, they said they don't know what I'm talking about. We have enough evidence that there's a spraying going all over the place.
We were warned about the takeover of our freedoms by the military-industrial complex by both Eisenhower and Kennedy. They're gaining traction on us, folks. We are in trouble more than just a spraying program.
All I can say is it's about time we get up in arms about this because it is affecting our health. It's high time that we as citizens of this great country take action.
The most amazing thing is that cloud up there, which was generated by the engine, and in about an hour's time, someone in Mississippi is going to get wet washing. It will actually rain.
13,100 micrograms per liter of aluminum in the rain in 2014. Normally, it should be zero.
It's raining! That's unbelievable! Oh. NASA's plane, God! It's making its own weather!
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B. at freedomslips.com.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. That time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Have you ever looked up in the sky and wondered about the cloud that is often left behind a high-flying aircraft? What you're looking at is a condensation trail, or contrail for short, which is a streak of cloud that condenses behind the plane as a result of the engine exhaust.
You can't tell me that's a contrail. You can't tell me that that right there is a normal cloud. They're all the same thickness, it's all the same bullshit thin white smog veil. That's square, angular, perpendicular, and parallel. Clouds don't shape in straight lines. I mean, is it going to get to the point where everybody's got, like, tubes in their noses and doing asthma pumps and no one's noticing? Your clouds are square. Your clouds are parallel. It's 30,000 feet in altitude. How is a cloud form into a straight line? I can't find a straight line in fucking nature in a tree or a rock. And that's hard, solid matter. This is gas. How is it forming in a straight line, a cloud? It's contrail. No, it's not. Child, you have a childlike mind. Scientist, global warmer, Greenpeace activists, worried about carbon emissions? Oh yeah, since when? Since when has it spiked? Oh, it's been going up. Okay, do you have the first recording of the Earth's carbon content in the atmosphere? No, you don't. You've been brainwashed through a box screen. There's another one. I mean, they're going to blame this on La Nina? Are you... This is double time. That's not even a manned plane now. They're at the point they're drones. It's been going on all morning. I stopped and pulled over so I could fucking point it out to you. There's no La Nina. There's no storm in Chicago right now. They're making it. Your food's artificial. Your water's got fluoride. Your air's got God knows what until the fucking government gets called into court. I want to eat organic. Oh, look, there's chemtrails. I don't want to talk about it. Let's go eat some real... Idiot. Your fucking air is not organic. You're a waste. I ain't going to be around here when the shit hits the fan and you guys don't know what's going on.
One of the aircraft you've seen very often doing this is a... And I saw one again just on Friday there. It's a pure white aircraft. Two big engines on it. No markings, and just laying on the chemtrails big time. And this ties in with this article that is from 2016, August the 3rd. What was that mysterious white plane flying in and out of Syracuse Airport? Well, they identify this as an American military one. It can be used for refueling in the air. It can be used for many purposes, but if there's tankers in it already, it means these are the ones, I think, that are using, they're using heavily for the spraying. And it makes perfect sense. Pure white again. And it says that it's a 757 C-32. It is a specially configured version of the Boeing 757-200 commercial airliner, and it's usually used to transport government leaders to locations around the world, according to the Air Force. And it says one version designated the C-32B reportedly has in-flight refueling capability and is painted white with minimal markings to keep a low profile while flying to foreign destinations. So it makes you wonder, you know. But I have seen these myself, and you can really get them with a good lens, or you can see them through binoculars, these particular aircraft. And they're white, that I can make out. Can't see any markings, although they're very high up indeed. But there's no markings or colour, they're pure white as far as you can see. And they're going at it all the time, pretty well daily. And I noticed too, they're back to the early 2000 spraying types they were giving, where they start off with big white trails and they spread into the sky if it's sunny, and you end up with this kind of bluish, whitish mush in the sky, not quite totally overcast, but they did bring on the rain over Saturday and into today, Sunday. With all the heavy spraying that's going on. It's child's play, it's routine nowadays. And of course, we're not supposed to know about it. This article here is about spraying. It says US scientists are set to send aerosol injections 20 kilometers up into the Earth's atmosphere or stratosphere in the world's biggest solar geoengineering program to date to study the potential of a future tech fix for global warming. I read this again a few weeks ago because it's... It ties in with what we're talking about here today, too. And again, this is all to do as if they were going to one day have to step in and save us all, when they've been doing it steadily since 1998, pretty well daily. And this little testing area, just for Harvard alone, university, is $20 million. And will launch within weeks and aims to establish where the technology can safely simulate the atmospheric cooling effects of a volcanic eruption, if a last-ditch bid to halt climate change is one day needed. What a lot of nonsense, eh? But again, most of it is not for the general public to understand or know about, in fact. They really hate the fact that you notice them. And if you didn't notice them, some of us didn't notice them at all, then you wouldn't hear about this at all. It wouldn't be mentioned anywhere. Because we're run by secrecy. as we prattle on about democracy, etc. But we're running total secrecy. That's truth. That's the reality of things. We're peasants, remember. And there's no need to know for the peasant class. Just play yourself with all your electronic gizmos and be happy. That's what they tell you.
Yeah, they don't care.
Polluters are trying to prevent us from moving away from fossil fuels, from which they profit greatly. And so they're offering up false solutions. And among the most pernicious of these false solutions is the promise of geoengineering.
Pollution for a pollution problem. Deliberate climate change as a solution to climate change is not just insane, but it is, as Einstein said, repeating the mindset that got you into the crisis in the first place.
Each year that you treat the symptom with solar geoengineering instead of addressing the root cause, which is carbon dioxide emissions, the amount of solar geoengineering you do has to be increased.
Our job is to do the hard work, having hit bottom as a society, of getting ourselves off the drug that got us into this problem, instead of just finding some new one to cover it up along the way.
Solar geoengineering reinforces the power of wealthy elites and creates yet another mechanism to concentrate power.
There are all these conflicts of interest where the scientists who are pushing this most aggressively have their own private companies which benefit from the normalization of the idea of a techno fix.
There's so many potential negative repercussions and risk that we feel would have a disproportionate burden on our indigenous peoples.
We as indigenous peoples do not approve of the development towards the solar geoengineering technology, and nor for it to be conducted in or above our lands, and nor in any ecosystem.
So
anywhere.
A couple things. Right. You all know how where I fall on the whole greenhouse gas thing. And yes, ETC group and all, you know, everybody on this page, everybody that was in that video, they're all like, well, we got to get off the fossil fuel. But we hate geoengineering. So it's like, okay, we can agree that geoengineering's bad. I'm not going to agree with you that CO2 is the cause of all these bad things. Not when you're dumping shit loads, butt loads, monster truck loads of plastic into the ocean, when you're poisoning all of the freshwater sources on the planet with chemicals, not with CO2, with chemicals. That's the climate change I'm concerned about. When you are literally dumping synthetic GMO animals into the environment, like GMO salmon. So to the point where genetically modified salmon are screwing other natural salmon, to the point where in the future there will be no organic salmon. This is the kind of climate change I'm concerned about. Most people are concerned about is pollution. CO2 is not pollution. It's plant food. So there is that disconnect there. I'm willing to swallow the bitter pill and say, hey, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Or, you know, the day we all agree is the day we could all be wrong. But regardless, there is a growing consensus of people who are saying, enough is enough. Geoengineering should be banned. And the ETC group has been at the forefront of stopping Bill Gates, stopping the SPICE project. They're trying to stop the Marine Cloud Brightening project and the ICE 9/11 geoengineering project, where they're sprinkling shiny balls all over the North Pole. You can't make this stuff up.
Mr. Kenny's not a scientist. I am. He's the CEO of the Weather Channel now. I was the founder of the Weather Channel, not the co-founder.
And I'm glad you did, because I am addicted to the Weather Channel. I watch a lot of cable news.
I'm talking now. Hold on just a minute. I'm not done. And CNN has taken a very strong position on global warming that it is a consensus. Well, there is no consensus in science. Science isn't a vote. Science is about facts. And if you get down to the hard, cold facts, there's no question about it. Climate change is not happening. There is no significant man-made global warming now. There hasn't been any in the past, and there's no reason to expect any in the future. There's a whole lot of baloney. And yes, it has become a big political point of the Democratic Party and part of their platform. And I regret it's become political instead of scientific. But the science is on my side.
I don't think we're going to come to a conclusion about the topic right here. What I do wonder,
well, I know
though,
we're
is
not,
when you
because
see
you wouldn't allow it to happen on CNN. But I'm happy
well,
that I got on the air and got a chance to talk to your viewers. Hello, everybody.
There is no
global warming.
What I do wonder is when you see the government, when you see NASA, when you see other institutions say that 97% of climate scientists agree, do you think they're making it up? What I don't understand is how you square that.
Well, that's a manipulated figure, and let me explain it to you. The government puts out about $2.5 billion directly for climate research every year. It only gives that money to scientists who will produce scientific results that support the global warming hypothesis of the Democrat Party, the position. So they don't have any choice. If you're going to get the money, you got to support their position. Therefore, 97% of the scientific reports published support global warming. Why? Because those are the ones the government pays for, and that's where the money is. It's real simple. But that doesn't mean it's right. That doesn't make it true. That only makes it bought and paid for. The money goes in circles.
I'm not a scientist, so I'm not going to try to refute you
well,
on
that's
the facts.
The truth.
So I'll simply
so
say that the vast majority...
Please stand back from this issue and let the two sides be on the air.
Jeez, what a
they're just showing the jets and ultra-color where the clouds that are just long lines. And people want to believe those are real clouds now. It's because people are always looking down in their phone and never looking up to seriously see what it is that's being done. Then people see rainbows in the clouds and they don't realize it's the aluminum. Because they're rainbow clouds, that's all they're doing is reflecting the chemicals that have just been sprayed in the air. There are no clouds that are real rainbows, people. And how orange and everything your sunsets and everything is? Well, you guess why, right? You figure out why. It's just ridiculous. And then the ships are even got dirty fuel exhaust. So all the ships that are doing the sailing across the oceans and that, they also are leaving trails of chemicals. So they're doing chemtrails too. It's just ridiculous that people just don't want to look up and see what's happening around them. And Mount Shasta, it's the heart of our Mother Earth. Well, not much more. Not if she's going to get attacked like that. And they were the first ones, Whittington, the first ones to bring and to bring us this information. So, just outrageous, seriously. Just outrageous. Okay, how much time? All right. Let's see. Well, this one might play out good. We shall see. But just so much used against us that we just really haven't been... Oh, I know the children and the other children just haven't been taught to recognize it. And then they think it's all right because the science says, well, the science isn't always right. Depends on which degree and which reality of the science that it is, right? I mean, seriously. So.
Good evening. We've outlawed all thoughts other than what we're about to tell you. Joe Biden is now sworn in as the 46th president of the United States of America. We at the mainstream media finally have one of our own back in office. Our system is working well again. And over the next 4 years, you'll probably think we're a lot less vicious than we used to be. That's because we will be. But remember, deep inside, we're still who we've always been. Got it? After unsuccessful presidential runs in 1988 and 2008, Joe Biden wins the presidency on his third attempt. President Biden was inaugurated at the Capitol with all of his supporters packing the grounds in a ceremony filled with the warmth of the human spirit, connection, and renewed hope. 33 years after his first attempt at presidency. This just in! Bernie Sanders turned out to be the life of the party. He's probably just filled with so much excitement because of his gratitude for the DNC. You're giving him such a fair shake at the nomination for two election cycles in a row. Millions of conspiracy theory Trump supporters had been filled with hope as they waited in their basement for the storm to come. With military control and something about Italian satellites, an affidavit, and something about a nationwide blackout or something. But by the end of Inauguration Day, they were all collectively quoted saying in unison, "F**k, what'll all those idiots do with their 30-day supplies of food and water now?" Like, maybe they'll be able to take it with them to the re-education camps that some people think all Trump supporters will be sent to. It's a 60-day food supply right there. 25-year shelf life. I'll give it all to you for $100. That's a hell of a deal. I don't need it anymore. I thought something was going to happen, but it's not. So let me know after the show if you're in. I say round up all those idiots and get them into the re-education camps now! As President Biden, who graduated from law school 76 out of a class of 85, takes office, we at the mainstream media are proud to report as we look back over this hard-fought election win that President Biden received precisely 100% of all votes. Oh, I thought it was more than that. Nonetheless, we believe that's the largest margin of victory in U.S. history. Simply impressive. And we congratulate President Biden. And we also want to congratulate Mark Zuckerberg and Jack Dorsey on this impressive win. And Tom Hanks hosted Celebrating America, a TV special airing on Biden's first day in office. Tom Hanks was also the first celebrity to come out as being infected by the virus. Weird. Let's move on. After 2.5 months of we at the media accurately reporting that Trump will refuse to leave office peacefully and may need to be removed by the military, Trump has left office peacefully. We'd like to congratulate ourselves in always being truthful to you and never manipulating your mind with how we bring you the news. However, in an odd break of character, we the media will not be issuing an apology for how we untruthfully reported misinformation that contributed to civil unrest. Nor will we be acknowledging we did it. Hey, look over there, there's Parler! Meanwhile, trillions of Americans celebrated racist Trump disgracefully leaving office, as they're glad to finally have a racially tolerant good guy in office. This just in! In February 2007, Biden's second run at president began to fail when he called Barack Obama the first mainstream African American who is articulate and bright and clean and a nice-looking guy. Will things be any different, or will it be more of the same? We'll see. In other news, in his first day in office, President Biden fired Surgeon General Jerome Adams. With Trump out and Biden in, comedian Nicole Arbour took to Instagram suggesting liberal comedians will now be filing for bankruptcy. That's preposterous, as we think it'll still be funny to hear people incessantly bashing Trump for at least another 10 years, or until he dies, but preferably both happen first. We think it's always funnier when comedians are spewing anger instead of comedy. In unrelated news, Stephen Colbert doesn't know what his late show's about anymore. Before leaving office, President Trump issued pardons for, among others, Steve Bannon and Lil Wayne. However, the hopes and dreams of millions of Americans fell flat on their faces when they learned President Trump would not be issuing a pardon to Tiger King Joe Exotic. Joe Exotic issued a statement saying he was too gay to be pardoned by Trump. This raises a curious question amongst Tiger King fans. Weren't Joe's husbands too straight to be gay? Maybe they just wanted drugs. And it's official. Edward Snowden does not receive a presidential pardon. We're glad his country continues to punish him for being a patriot. And we'll be back right after this short commercial break.
All right, guys, have a great Monday. Later.
Revolution Radio.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Don't miss the Crypt Rick and Jonathan Show every Saturday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Studio B, right here at Revolution Radio.
The journey begins to fun, health, and freedom.
This is the people's war. It is our war. We are the fighters. Fight it, then. Fight it with all that is in us. And may God defend the right.
Warning! Warning!
We've got to stop them! They're going to kill us all!
See how the trouble you've started? Be they the government, be they industry, be they organized labor, be they anyone, or human beings.
Time when the operation of the machine becomes so obvious, makes you so
take it hard. But you can't take part. You can't even passively take part. And you've got to put your bodies upon the gears and upon the wheels, upon the levers, upon all the apparatus, and you've got to make it stop. And you've got to indicate to the people who run it, to the people who own it, that unless you're free, the machine will be prevented from working.